This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. Busy, busy show. Lots of NBA talk coming up. NFL futures, going to be talking about that. Got a little recap of the Travelers. We've got a little bit of World Cup talk. Brazil, Japan kicking off as we speak. Adam Zadroik is going to join us to talk about today's slate. Three awesome elimination games. We're at that stage of the tournament. It gets real now. Excited about that. We'll close out the show with our best bets. As always, welcome to those of you watching live with us. Welcome to those of you who have been listening or listening on the Propcast, the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll start off with golf. Fun tournament this week. Nick, I know you were golfing in Minnesota. I'm not sure how much you got to catch of this, but it was a fun, fun tournament, especially the Sunday round at the Travelers, our last signature event of the year. And it came down to Scheffler versus Hovland down the stretch, but we saw some other names, risers late in this one. Huge Sunday round by Colin Morikawa. We saw Wyndham Clark make yet another run. Man, what a machine he's been lately. Matthew Fitzpatrick was up on this leaderboard and ended with the playoff this morning, Hovland beating Scheffler. But what I loved was Sunday, the finish on Sunday, just the crowds. Like, you know, it's a notoriously loud crowd, actually. You know, last year we had the Keegan Bradley versus Tommy Fleetwood matchup there. They had some USA chance then. We had a lot more of it yesterday because Norway's soccer team was in Boston. So we had a lot of Norwegians following this tournament and following Hovland. It was fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, it had almost like a college basketball game atmosphere as the final round was wrapping up. So I got back on Sunday afternoon, was able to catch most of the final round, thanks in part to the delay. But yeah, an incredible leaderboard at the end. You know, you're seeing Colin Morikawa after shooting 61 to even make this interesting and get to 20 under, you know, just kind of walking around the clubhouse. He's got the club in his hand. He's taking some hacks just in case this turned into a three-man playoff. But both Hovland and Scheffler convert on the 18th. Could have been a little bit more interesting if Wyndham Clark did not decide to short arm a 9-iron over the water on 17. That was a very interesting decision. I think the commentators were baffled by that. But nonetheless, we get the Monday morning playoff. It took just one hole. You know, both guys in great position. Both hit better shots this morning on the approach than they did on 18 to conclude the fourth round. And Scottie Scheffler had the advantage, right? I mean, Hovland put some pressure on him making that putt, but Scheffler had the better shot. And, you know, especially after the way he putted to conclude that round yesterday, I thought that was going down. I thought we were replaying the hole and this was going to continue. And, you know, Scheffler just pushed it a little left. And there we have it. Victor Hovland, after missing the cut a week ago, coming back and winning the tournament.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way Scheffler's season's been going. You know, he's either, you know, when his ball striking's just been a little off, you notice that there, because he's usually like the leader in shot gains approach, but then like the putting is off. And that's what happened at the PGA, happened a little bit at the US Open as well, where he just didn't make that one key critical putt at the end. And it happens, but my gosh, another terrible Scottie Scheffler finish, but still, you know, hasn't won since January. And then, you know, any other golfer, like, okay, he won once and he's been in a contention, all these others, it's a great season. Scottie has different standards. So it goes. We got a World Cup game starting right now, Brazil and Japan, and an elimination game. They're playing in Houston. I'm excited about this day of games, and I'm really looking forward to Adam Zadroik joining us, telling us more about those. But 0-0, Brazil had an early scoring chance, didn't convert, but they're like 3 minutes into this game. Yesterday saw one game, Canada versus South Africa, and for about 60 minutes ago, it was pretty much a turgid affair. It picked up late, and Canada got the winner in the 91st minute. And that was good on Canada. They advanced to the next round. They will face the winner of Netherlands-Morocco, which is later today.
Yeah, fun way to kick off the round of 32, just the one featured game yesterday. Obviously, three games on the slate. We'll see Germany-Paraguay. We'll see Netherlands and Morocco later today. We're going three games, really, each day to begin the week. Obviously, Team USA coming our way on Wednesday night against Bosnia-Herzegovina. How are you feeling, Jeff, about the way the bracket broke for Team USA? There's kind of a lot of speculation midway through the first round or the group play round as far as how this would end up coming out. If they win on Wednesday, they will get the winner of Belgium and Senegal.
And that's a tough matchup, but there are tougher ones. You know, that's the thing is, I think they drew pretty well, all things considered. Bosnia is hard to beat. They're hard to finish off. They're a young team. They're really good on set pieces. They've been able to rally in the past. Just to get to the World Cup, they had to play like the extra qualifying rounds where they beat Wales. They beat Italy. I think Italy, they went to the to penalties, shots, kicks from the mark. This is a team that, you know, but they were behind and rallied in both cases there. Really impressive the way they did that. Very young team, which means they're very athletic, means that they can run for days. And they've had plenty of rest as well as the U.S. team has. So going to be interesting to see that. But there are much worse draws out there. Belgium beat the U.S. in a friendly about 6 months ago and pretty handily at that. It was kind of an ugly game for Team USA. Although the U.S. men's national team was missing a bunch of their key players for that game. The U.S. men's national team beat Senegal 3-2 in a fun game just before the start of the tournament there. So, and another friendly there. So there's some reason for hope that they stayed out of France. They stayed out of like the, you know, the Argentina bracket, the Spain bracket, and for the, at least the next couple of rounds. They could have a crash course with, you know, if they win two more games, they'll likely get the winner of Spain, Portugal, which is, it's pretty crazy that they're in that matchup there in the quarters, but even better that they get, and I mean, excuse me, in the round of 16, but even better that that could be a fun game there. But that's where it probably comes crashing to a halt. So we'll see about that. But still, not a bad draw at all. Before we talk NBA, and there's copious NBA news, you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code BEASAN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Nick, we have another trade from the Charlotte Hornets. They kicked off a lot of the post-draft talk with the LaMelo Ball trade to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now they've traded Miles Bridges away and some picks to the Suns. They get Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, and a 2033 first-round pick. What's your reaction to this deal? Mm-hmm.
It's been an aggressive offseason for the Charlotte Hornets. I think that's the only way to read this right now, where, you know, Charlotte kind of became the darling of the NBA over the last few months of the season. You know, ended up fizzling out, of course, in the play-in. But I think it takes some gumption. I think it takes some recognition of where you truly are, where you truly stand in the league hierarchy to make these moves, specifically sending out LaMelo Ball, who is a controversial yep. player for a number of reasons, both on and off the court. But for better or worse, he's the face of the franchise. He's one of the 10 most popular players in the NBA. And I think to make the decision to sell high on him after his first healthy season in a while, knowing he's the face of your franchise, knowing that despite his flaws, the fans still love him, it's a bold move. It's a really, really bold move by Charlotte. And then they double down and trade away another productive starter in Miles Bridges. Now, I think the collective package, as far as what they got back for LaMelo, what they got back for Bridges, is really strong. Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, both of these guys were excellent role players last season in Phoenix. Both were top 30 in the NBA in made threes per game. Royce O'Neal was quietly 18th in total made threes. They also get a future first to add to the draft capital that they brought in the LaMelo deal. So it's a very significant shakeup. You know, the Hornets are certainly risking taking a step back in the short term. But I don't think they're necessarily done. You know, I think they've opened up some flexibility. They've added enough assets to, you know, reasonably go out and chase another star or borderline star this offseason. And more than anything, they just have flexibility overall. I think they're not rushing into, okay, we found lightning in a bottle over the final 3 months of the season. We can't lose this. I think they're building smartly. And that's not really something you could say about the Hornets in the past. So I like what Charlotte has done overall. On the Minnesota side things, Jeff, this is a major, major risk bringing in LaMelo Ball. One, for the health reasons. Yeah. Two, you know, the fit next to Anthony Edwards. Do you trust LaMelo Ball off the court? There are plenty of things that I think we could bring up in that realm. But I think this is Minnesota feeling the pressure, to be honest, because what happened after Giannis yep. Antetokounmpo was traded on Monday of last week? It was, okay, who's the next star who could shake loose? And then you're starting to see whispers that, well, Anthony Edwards isn't necessarily happy that the Wolves keep flaming out. They had to admit defeat on the Julius Randle trade. So this to me felt like Minnesota being willing to take a huge swing and saying, we don't think we can necessarily get a player who is better than LaMelo Ball talent-wise, upside-wise. This is our opportunity to get him at somewhat of a relative discount. You know, giving up Naz Reid, giving up those picks, that matters for Minnesota, but that's what you have to put on the table to get a talent, the caliber of LaMelo Ball. So Minnesota, to me, is now maybe the most fun duo that we have in the NBA. Edwards and Ball is going to be incredible to watch, but can LaMelo Ball stay healthy? You know, right now we have the early win total sitting at 50.5 right now over at DraftKings. I got to be honest, that feels a little bit high to me. I think there's a lot of risk here.
Yeah, I agree. What about the Phoenix side real quick? We haven't spent much time talking about Phoenix. You know, they were a team that, you know, was much better than people expected, much better than the year before. What do you think on their side of this deal?
Yeah, they were one of the surprises of the season, you know, making the playoffs. I think felt like a huge success relative to expectations. Bringing in Miles Bridges, I don't necessarily get it. You know, a guy who I believe is on an expiring contract. Obviously, their owner is a Michigan State guy. He played at Michigan State. So did Miles Bridges. So you wonder if there is some connection there. I mean, you look at a starting five of Devin Booker, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Miles Bridges, Mark Williams. It's formidable. It's not a bad team by any means. You know, they've gone out and re-signed some of their role players, but you got to compare it to what you're competing against in the Western Conference. And it's like, is that a better team than the sixth or the seventh seed right now in the West? Do you feel remotely good about your chances going up against the San Antonio Spurs or the OKC Thunder? We'll see what the Golden State Warriors look like by the end of the week. So, you know, I'm always applauding teams for putting a competitive roster on the floor, but I don't see a lot of upside right now with how this Suns team is currently constructed. We got to head to break. When we come back, we're going to have Adam Zdrojek from RotoWire joining us for a full World Cup preview. We'll tell you what's going on in the Brazil-Japan game. Prop points. We'll be right back. You're watching VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is our good friend from RotoWire. He runs all of our soccer coverage over at RotoWire. He is the great Adam Zdrojek, who's joined us many other times here on this show, especially during this run, both for the World Cup, but then also in the NCAA tournament prior to that as well, because he also runs our college hoops coverage. You can follow him on Twitter at RotoZdrojek. Adam, welcome to the show. Great day for elimination games. Brazil-Japan, Germany-Paraguay, Netherlands-Morocco. Got no score in this Japan-Brazil game. No shortage of scoring opportunities so far, though.
Yeah, it's been early Brazil. I think that I do have a bet here on both teams to score at plus 100. I'm hoping Japan get a couple counters here and sneak at least one goal in. But early on, I think it's kind of gone to expected. I think it will, as we go, it maybe a little more up and down. I was actually just going to look at the over 2.5, see where we're at. Plus 156 here, current live over 2.5 goals. So I think there's going to be goals here. Maybe these teams struggle to score, but I'm still riding with the both teams to score on this one.
Yeah, about 15 minutes in out in Houston, Brazil currently minus 310 on the money line. Japan sitting plus 230. So later this afternoon, Adam, we get Germany, Paraguay. Germany a heavy, heavy favorite, minus 700 on that money line. I know you have a couple plays in this game, one for each team.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a perfect matchup for Germany, just with the way that we've seen Paraguay play, the way that we saw them play against the United States. I think this Germany team could play similar to what the USA did and kind of win the middle and then get easy looks on the outside. Germany over 2.5 goals is plus 141. Pretty good odds, I think. I think this is going to be Germany reaching that three goal mark. You could take Germany -1.5 on the spread. I just think they're going to get so many good opportunities the way that they play. And Paraguay are really on the other end. They're simply a counter team. They're probably, we'll see how the game goes. I'm thinking, you know, maybe five shots, maybe if you want to take the under, if you can find any over unders on Paraguay shots. I think they're going to have limited opportunities. I don't really trust the Germany defense, but the way that the Paraguay play, it's just going to be counters and hoping that they get one really good opportunity, kind of the one goal that they had against the United States. That was kind of what happened. So building onto that, I also like under on the Paraguay corners. That is +120. Under 2.5 corners. That's not very many corners, but I don't think they're going to be in too many attacking situations. At that point, you're just hoping, okay, maybe hopefully Paraguay don't have three shots on target that all get hit out by the goalkeeper. That's kind of what you're thinking. Paraguay are on like five corners for the entire tournament right now. They just don't get any opportunities. They're also possibly down two of their best players. Diego Gomez is suspended, and then one of their center backs, Alderete, he's questionable to play. And both of them are Premier League players. You know, this is a Paraguay team that's not filled with Premier League players. And if you're missing two of them, that's not going to help. So I'm on Germany and then under on the Paraguay corners.
Netherlands, Morocco caps off today's action. Eagerly anticipated game. Maybe I think the game ongoing right now, Brazil, Japan's awesome. I think Netherlands, Morocco might even be more anticipated. The Orange Army has been pretty awesome in this tournament. Morocco may be a little underwhelming compared to their reputation and their run last year, but you like Morocco to advance against the Netherlands.
I got to stick with what I was on before the tournament. I'm on Morocco here, and I still worry about them having lack of depth. They have a couple of injuries that stuck out to me before the tournament, and there's still kind of that one extra piece on the wing to go off counters. I think that may be the downfall of them because Brahim Diaz, El Kanouch, isn't really an elite wing player. He plays better from central, and he's been more on the wing for them. I still think that overall their defense, the way that they play together, and I know Netherlands had good group stages. I just want to see them score against a better elite defense like Morocco. So I'm not completely there yet, which is why I'm on Morocco as the underdog or +125 to advance in this spot. I think that this could be a 1-1 type of game where it does go into extra time. I don't think there's a real advantage anywhere. Both midfields are solid. Both defenses are solid. Gakpo had a really good performance in their second game against whoever that was, Sweden, I think it was. But this is a completely different matchup. Gakpo and Hakimi on the same side of the field is going to be fireworks, I think, for this game. And I don't see a real edge, so let's just take the value here with Morocco, +125 to advance, whether that's, you know, in 90 or maybe it goes to PKs.
Folks, we got $30 million in guaranteed prizes on the line this season. Cash in Las Vegas with three Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with zero rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, it's 18 weeks, 128 different ways to win. Circa Survivor, you know about that one. You can pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. It's Circa Grandissimo back for another year. This one's for the high rollers. $100,000 entry version of Survivor. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed in the 2026 football season. Visit circusports.com for all the details. Adam Zdrojek, soccer expert for us at rotowire.com, joining via the Progressive guest line. We have Brazil, Japan still in progress, reaching the 20th minute, still a nothing-nothing game. Brazil down to -255 on the money line. Japan sitting 2-1. Let's move over to the Tuesday slate with you, Adam. Take a look at Ivory Coast versus Norway. This is a 1 p.m. Eastern start tomorrow. You have a play on the total.
Yeah, I like goals in this one. I think it's going to be a pretty fascinating matchup just because of the way that Ivory Coast have played defense. They've looked really solid defensively. They didn't allow a goal in qualifying. Granted, that was against weaker competition, but they fought Germany well, and I think that the way that Norway plays is going to kind of take over, where they get the ball to their big guys up front, get it to Haaland, get it to Sørloth, and kind of rely on that. And I think that we'll see goals, though, because Norway's back line, we still have questions about. We look at the prior games for Norway where so many goals in these games, and Diamond on the wing, Diallo on the wing, guys who are very skilled, who are excellent one-on-one. I think that the Norway, the beefiness, the strength in Norway may be a problem in terms of trying to defend Diamande, a guy who's in rumors to go to PSG, one of the younger stars, early stars of this tournament, kind of making headlines. I think it's going to lead to goals back and forth a little bit. And I think just the way that Norway have scored in this tournament, I think that's also going to be enough for goals for them. So we're at about even odds, over 2.5. You can see on the screen, looks like -110 odds, depending where you look, over 2.5 goals. So that line is right there on the number.
France, Sweden. I expect goals in this one here. Sweden plays very little defense. They do have talented strikers up front, and France obviously has tons of firepower. What plays do you like in that game?
Yeah, goals in this one. We've seen Sweden's defense, and now they're against France. France, who are just, I don't know, they're in cruise control, but maybe not cruise control, just like goal control. Dembele coming from the wing has his bread and butter shot that went in 3 times last game. We saw Cody Gakpo kind of destroy this back line. Then you throw in Mbappe, you throw in Elise, and that's not even mentioning the other wing with Barcolo or Douye. Over 2.5 goals for France is -107. I think you could take that up over 3.5, over 4.5. If you believe in Sweden, if you believe in Isak and Jokeric be able to score, which I think if we get to like 3-0, I think, you know, some lackadaisical defense might show up and Sweden do get a goal. Both teams to score is about even odds as well. And if you want to get creative, you can throw in some, one thing I'd like to been doing with some of these bigger favorites is throwing in some player props, goal or assist for some of these guys. Maybe not in Mbappe at these odds, but you can start to parlay guys like goal or assist for Mbappe, goal or assist for Dembele. It's -190 for Dembele, -165 for Elise. So there are different routes here where you can get goal or assist instead of just taking, okay, let's take France money line. Let's see how many goals they can score. Go 3, 4, 5, that kind of a thing.
We'll hit one more game with you, Adam. Mexico-Ecuador to close things out tomorrow night, a 9 p.m. Eastern start. Should be, at least based on the money line pricing, more competitive than that France-Sweden game. You have a very specific play that you're looking for to end tomorrow's slate. So what is it?
More competitive game, more ugly, more defensive. Maybe neither team is actually getting to 10 shots in this game. That's kind of what game this will be. Going into the knockouts, I wanted to go against corners for both of these teams because neither one is allowing corners. And that number is under 7.5 corners, which is not very many, but I think I'm still going to take it. But I'm just going to ride, whether it's, I do think it's going to be 0-0 going to extra time. You can get draw at +195 odds here for draw in regular time, which is kind of crazy odds, but the way that these teams play, both love defense, both very tentative going forward. And I don't think either one of their attacks are, you know, on the France level that we're going to automatically see goals. So draw in regular time +195.
Adam Zdrowicz, everybody doing a great job covering the World Cup for us at rotowire.com. Be back on the show plenty of times before it wraps up. Find him on Twitter on X at Roto Zdrowicz. We're taking a break. When we come back, the VSiN NFL betting guide is out. I'm going to share some of my favorite NFL futures on the other side.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen. We welcome those who are listening on SiriusXM channel 158. And of course, those watching live on YouTube TV. VSiN's 2026 NFL betting guide is out, and Nick has some bets that he wrote up in the guide. Let's go ahead and take a look. Nick, we start off with the New Orleans Saints. You have a bet on their win total.
I do. It's still hanging around at 7.5, Jeff. And look, the Saints started out 1-8 last year, and I thought in a lot of ways completely flipped the script over the second half of the season. I mean, they were competitive early on. It was a hard fought 1-8, but basically as soon as they turned things over to Tyler Shuck, we started to see a lot more upside with this offense. This was very quietly a top 10 defense by EPA in the NFL. last season. And I think the Saints, you know, kind of recognized some opportunity in a wide open NFC South. Now, you will notice I'm looking at the win total for the Saints as opposed to actually winning the division, because to me, there's still enough talent down in Tampa Bay where I think the Buccaneers are the incumbent favorite for me, despite their collapse down the stretch. And we'll get to a Buccaneers future that I have in just a moment. But 7.5 just feels imminently attainable for the New Orleans Saints. Like, every game in division is winnable for this team. They have a relatively favorable schedule. Out-of-division matchups against the Raiders, the Giants, the Steelers, the Browns, the Cardinals, they'll be favored in a handful of those games. All of those are very winnable. And look, they went out and brought in, you know, an upgrade to me at running back. This was one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL last season. I believe they were second to last in rushing DVOA. Travis Etienne by himself doesn't necessarily change that. You need to get things working with the offensive line. But as long as he stays healthy, I think he did a great job rehabilitating his value in Jacksonville last year, reminding us the type of player he can be when he's at 100%. They're going to need Jordan Tyson to hit right away. I think he can. I think he's going to be an automatic upgrade over whatever they were throwing out beyond Chris Olave last season. And I really like the head coach and Kellen Moore. You know, I would certainly take a look at him if you're looking at coach of the year markets. I think he fits that bill. He's a younger coach. He's coming into his second year. We could see a big leap year over year in total wins. So look, the Saints to me are still a couple of years away. They have a lot of things they need to do to this roster to push them into true contender territory. But getting to 8, 9, even 10 wins to me does not feel unrealistic whatsoever.
100% agree. And just look at the spreads. And using the DraftKings Sportsbook, the division winner odds. The Bucs are the favorite, but they're plus 164. The Saints are the second favorite at 265. Right. The Panthers, 310. Atlanta, 425. I mean, they're all just narrowly drawn together there. I share your optimism. I'm optimistic about the Saints offense as well. I like even like adding Oscar Delp at tight end. You know, kind of a little bit of an unrealized talent at Georgia just because of the way they spread the ball, but I think he could be sneaky good. You know, teams are using multiple tight end sets. I think that might help free Juwan Johnson a little bit more. I actually like this Saints team a lot. I don't know what they're going to do with Kamara. Frankly, I'm surprised they haven't moved on from him a little bit there, but you know, that's the one thing with Etienne, you know, worried about maybe usage a little bit there, but that's a fantasy take. That's not a strength of team take there. I'm with you on that one there a lot. I share your Saints optimism. How about the Detroit Lions? You know, last year they had a awful injury luck. You know, Frank Ragnow retiring, in June, just totally rocked that team in terms of like the timing of that there. And then on top of that, they had an incredibly bad schedule, especially down the stretch. Do you like them to win the NFC North this year?
I think I do. And, you know, the Lions are the favorite right now, but I think there is some value here at plus 180. And, you know, that number has slipped a little bit. The Terry and Arnold situation, that's certainly going to be a hit to that defense and a secondary that has either underperformed or been extremely banged up for what feels like two straight years. So Lions did take a major step back last season. You know, we flagged that schedule going into the year. I was still pretty in on Detroit. I did not think they would take as big of a step back as they did, but finished 9-8, ended up sliding all the way to the bottom of what might be the most competitive division top to bottom in the NFL, in the NFC North. It's tough to pick out the division wins for Detroit. You know, I think all these games, Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, those are ultimately going to feel like toss-ups, but Detroit struggled against the Vikings last year. They struggled against the Green Bay Packers. I think they will be better in division. I think that offense will be a little bit more consistent, even losing David Montgomery, like bringing in Pacheco, that's a downgrade, but you have a new offensive coordinator. Clearly did not work with Johnny Morton last year. The non-rotation games though are what really jump out when you dig in on the Lions schedule, which projects to be among the easier in the NFL. You know, teams like Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, you know, they're playing much more difficult, rotational opponents, whereas the Lions get the Cardinals, they get the Titans, they get the Giants, which should be three wins to me on that schedule. You compare that to the Packers, for instance, they get the Rams, the Texans, and the Cowboys. The Bears get the Seahawks, the Jaguars, and the Eagles. I mean, those could be 0-3, 1-2 type of stretches for those teams. I will say, I do think the Bears are for real. I know they're an obvious regression team. They won a ton of games in crazy fashion last year. That probably comes back around a bit in 2026. The Packers will be right there, but the injuries, Micah Parsons being on the shelf to begin the year, the lack of depth on that defense is a big concern for me. We'll get to the Vikings momentarily. I am high on this Minnesota team, but not quite winning the division type of high. So I will play into the schedule a little bit. I'll play into the bounce back, hopefully health-wise, for the Detroit Lions to win the NFC North at a pretty good price.
Yeah, that's the second narrowest spread between first and last in the division in terms of divisional odds. There's not a single bad team in the division. There's flaws on each one of these four teams. I think glaring questions they have to answer. And with the Lions, it's, you know, obviously the Arnold situation. It's the offensive line shift, moving Penei Sewell over to left tackle, drafting a right tackle in the first round of the draft, putting him in as a starter. Do they have good guard play this year? The interior offensive line was a struggle last year. Did they do enough to address that? These are all things they have to answer, but every team in the division, same thing like you mentioned with the Bears, especially their pass rush and their schedule. The Vikings at quarterback is an obvious question mark there. The Packers with their defense and their lack of activity in the offseason as well, for that matter, with the Packers there. All legitimate questions, but you're getting a pretty good price. I agree with you on that one there. Before we get to our next one about the Vikings real quick here, there's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily MLB and World Cup soccer to Wimbledon and the countdown to the football season. That's why now is the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You'll get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 2026/27 NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. Plus, you'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. And remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you get. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You mentioned it, Nick, the Minnesota Vikings. You're optimistic about them. Quarterback can't take down a team, but did they do enough by bringing in Kyler Murray? You like them to make the playoffs.
I do. And honestly, look, plus 510 to win this extremely competitive division. It's juicy enough that I may sprinkle on that as well. But yeah, the Vikings to make the playoffs, you can get that plus 154 as we speak at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I just think we are somehow maybe underrating how much this offense was hamstrung by the quarterback play last year. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy is going to take the bulk of the heat for that, but Carson Wentz did not play well for the Vikings either. He was playing through injury, and the Vikings just couldn't run a normal offense for like 90% of the season and still found their way into 9 wins. I know they got a free one in week 18 against Green Bay when they were resting starters, but nonetheless, that felt like it should have been like a 6-win season for Minnesota, and they were still in the playoff mix at the end of the year. I think Kyler Murray stepping in, say what you will about him, he is a massive, massive upgrade over what they dealt with that quarterback last year. He brings a little bit of the running element. I think it's the best supporting cast that he's probably had in his entire career. It's the best head coach that he's ever played for in Kevin O'Connell. So I am really, really optimistic that Minnesota, again, coming off of a 9-win season when they were a bottom five offense in EPA, a bottom five offense in yards per play, Kyler Murray doesn't have to play at an MVP level for this to be a very good team. The infrastructure is there. The defense, the coaching on that side of the ball is still there. So I really like the decision by Minnesota to buy low on Kyler Murray, basically playing for free this year. They didn't have to sacrifice other pieces on that roster. Minnesota, to me, I think a really, really good value at significant plus money to make the postseason. I think they could finish second in the NFC North.
Absolutely. I think they have to overcome some defensive losses and free agency in that draft day trade, but they've got one of the best DCs in the game, so they can overcome that. Got about a minute left. Let's talk a little bit about one wide receiver prop. You want to talk a little Tampa Bay Bucs on this one here.
Yeah, I mean, these season-long player props, so many of them will come down to injury, but this is one where I think if you look at Emeka Ebuka, the number is 874.5 for his season-long receiving yards. I think he could miss games, Jeff. He could miss 3 or 4 games and still go over this number. Now, his production completely fell off over the second half of the year, as did basically the entire Bucs offense, but I am willing to buy in on the version of Ebuka that we saw over the first 9 games when he had almost 700 receiving yards on 40 catches, almost 17 yards per reception, 6 touchdowns in that span. Did have a hamstring injury that I think flew under the radar a little bit that took away some of his explosiveness. Mike Evans obviously is now out of the picture. Excuse me. So you have Ebuka as the clear number one option for Baker Mayfield in that offense. Again, as long as he stays even relatively healthy, I think he is sailing over this number. I think we're looking at a 1,000-plus yard season for Emeka Ebuka. We got to head to break. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More Prop Points coming your way next.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, bringing you up to the top of the hour. Jeff, we have a goal on the board down in Houston, Japan, taking a 1-0 lead on Brazil. We are in the 44th minute, so nearing the end of the first half. That was Kaishi Sano putting one in from just outside the box. That goal coming in the 29th minute. So Japan now -120 to win the match over at DraftKings and, of course, advance to the round of 16. If you want to jump on Brazil, +105 to qualify is your number. We'll, of course, keep you posted if anything else breaks before the end of the first half. Jeff, we have 13 games on the Monday slate in Major League Baseball, so just a handful of teams getting an off day. Let's get your full card, and we will start out in Baltimore, where we get the White Sox paying a visit to the Orioles. Baltimore -137 on the money line. Totals up at 9.5 for Sean Burke and Shane Boss.
Yeah, and this is an interesting game. It looks might look a little incongruous to see the White Sox with a winning record on the road as a significant favorite, maybe not significant, but significant enough of as an underdog against an Orioles team that's under 500. But at home, Baltimore is 23-21. The White Sox are 15-25 on the road. It's tough with Shane Boz because every time he looks good, you know, we think we're safe. We can use him in fantasy. He throws up a stinker like he did last time up against the Angels. But 9 Ks in the start before that there. And one thing I looked at is the White Sox on the road. They strike out a ton, 26.1% on the road. This is one of the reasons why they do have a losing record on the road significantly. So I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to go Shane Boz on the over 5.5 strikeouts. Best price I found was -106 over at DraftKings.
So we get Braxton Ashcraft going up against Aaron Nola in Pirates Phillies tonight. Game is in Philadelphia. Phillies just a slight favorite on the money line, -112. 8.5 is our total. I think you got to find ways to target Aaron Nola specifically, Jeff. It has been nothing short of a disaster so far this season. ERA is creeping up close to 6. You start to wonder, is he pitching for his job in that rotation at some point? So, I mean, this game is your oyster. I know you have a lot of ways you could play this. What are we locking in?
Yeah, too many options. Too many good options there. I mean, we got to start with Aaron Nola. I come not to praise Aaron Nola, but to bury him. You know, 5.58 ERA. We can bury the whole every other year narrative. 6.01 last year, and we're like, okay, maybe he'll bounce back. Look good in the world, WBC. Maybe he could be good this year. It has not been good this year. 17 homers are allowed already. He allowed 18 all of last season. 2 years ago in 2024, he allowed 30. The year before that, 32. He's been gopher-tastic here, and I expect that to continue. I thought about going with the home run prop, but Brandon Lau's prop is, you know, too low, frankly. The price on it is too low. Low for Lau. I mean, there we go with that. Okay, move on. This is not a comedy hour here. But Braxton Ashcraft is really good. However, he struggled a little bit. These two matched up against each other about 5 starts ago in May. It was an 11-9 game. Pirates had a big lead and blew it there. Started with Ashcraft giving up 4 runs late in that game. And then the bullpen completely fell apart after that there. I want to just find left-handers to attack against Nola. Against lefties, he averages allowing 2.28 homers per 9 with 3.91 wOBA. So, go dig into your favorite home run or total bases or home hits plus runs plus RBIs, whether it's Lau, whether it's Ryan O'Hearn. Find that lefty against Nola and you'll have some fun. I'm going simple on this one, though. I'm going to go with the Pirates as getting a really low price on the money line, -103 at circa. I just think Ashcraft is the much better pitcher than Nola. I will take the over on the total, though. 8.5 at circa, it's -112.
Got Rangers Guardians in Cleveland tonight. Guardians -149 on the money line. Lower total at 7.5. Parker Messick on the hill for the Guardians. And Jeff, you're going to have to explain what's going on with the pitching tonight for the Rangers.
Okay, so they're using an opener. It's the opener himself. The identity of that opener is the really interesting part. Tyler Alexander got saves on Saturday and Sunday against the Blue Jays. And yet he's going to be the opener today too. So he's going to pitch 3 days in a row. Not sure how I feel about that, but Jacob Latz had been getting so many saves this past week that he was unavailable for 2 days. So they went with Alexander there. He's gonna open up against the Guardians team that's missing Jose Ramirez. They're missing Angel Martinez. They did get Chase DeLauder back, but I think they kind of wanted to get the lefty out on the mound to start off with here. They will have Lats available, obviously, for this game here. And the Rangers, they're a hot team now, all of a sudden. They've rallied to 500. They swept the Blue Jays in Toronto. They did just lose Wyatt Langford to another leg injury. But I think against this this Guardians lineup, I think they're the better team. The Guardians have the better starting pitcher, and that's why they're favored here. Parker Messick is really good, home, road, you name it. He's been great all year. But I think it's just a battle. It's the battle of the lineups here, and I do trust the Rangers lineup on the road a lot more. They score a lot more runs on the road than they do at home. I'm going Rangers money line here, getting plus money at it, plus 127 over at Circa.
Tigers-Yankees. Teams who faced off just a couple of series ago. This one now in New York. We have the Yankees minus 136 on the money line. Total coming in at 8 for Casey Mize versus Ryan Weathers. You got a money line play for us.
I do. And it's a chalk. It's the super chalkiest of chalk picks you can get. Yankees is a home favorite against the Tigers. Weathers beat the Tigers last time out. He's had two good starts in a row after a rough start to the month of June there. I generally like Weathers for K's, but I think that the prop is a little high at 6.5. So I'm just going to take the plus 128 price. You get that over at Circa. Mize hasn't won since April. And the Tigers, we're going to be on trade talk here. That talk is heating up. Remember at the start of the homestand, we were saying, oh, this is a critical homestand for the Tigers. Got to look to see what we can do. You know, Tarek Skubal had those comments. Well, they just dropped 3 out of 4 to the Houston Astros there. One guy that's on fire for the Tigers a little bit is of course, my guy Dylan Dingler, who's been great all along. But also, Kerry Carpenter's heated up. But because there's a lefty on the mound, that kind of negates that sort of advantage. You know, Yankee Stadium kind of negates the lefties going up against, you know, takes away that short porch in right field against lefties as well. So it kind of hurts a guy like Kerry Carpenter, too.
Get fired up, Jeff, for Mets Blue Jays tonight in Toronto. The Mets are the Mets. They've lost 6 of their last 7. The Blue Jays got swept over the weekend. They've lost 6 in a row coming into tonight. Fun pitching matchup, at least, with Nolan McLean against Trey Savage.
Yes, it is. And I know you have a play on this game later on. I'm not going to steal your play, but I'm going to take kind of an adjunct of this play. I like the pitching matchup in this one here. Nolan McLean versus Trey Savage. The Mets lineup is better now that it's got Lindor back, but it's not good. It's still not a good lineup there, and it's been especially bad on the road. So I'm just going to take the, you know, bet on a good pitcher here in Trey Savage. Been, you know, pretty good since coming back. 3.56 ERA. He's had a couple of bumps here and there, but I you know, he allowed one run in his last start. Overall, you know, he has two outings against the Orioles and the Yankees that have kind of dragged his numbers down. But I think those are a bit of an anomaly here, and that's why you know, looking at his home road splits probably aren't that instructive. I'm going to go with the Trey Savage under 2.5 earned runs allowed, minus 112 over at DraftKings.
Jeff, anything for you in Nationals Red Sox starting up in Boston tonight? Miles Michaelis, Ranger Suarez, your pitching matchup.
All right, so this is putting the test to my bet overs in Nationals games. Principle here. You bet it on mere principle, because anytime it's under 9, I like to bet that. So I'm just going to go do it even out. Even though the Red Sox are going to be a team that the Red Sox have been pitching very well as of late, 11 consecutive good starts from their starting pitchers. And Ranger Suarez is a good pitcher on the mound. The Nationals lead the National League in runs scored. They've been a team that's been, you know, reliable bet in terms of the over, because not only do they score a ton, they also give up a ton. You get to pick on that Nationals bullpen on top of that there. So even if it's a close game, maybe the bullpen will blow it. They've blown half their save opportunities this year. Literally 12 out of 24 save chances they've blown this year. Michaelis is a pitcher there that they've often used an opener in front of lately. I'm not really worried about that so much there. I think the Red Sox bats, which aren't that good, are still going to get hit a little bit here, this one. So I'm going to take the over in this game. Best price I can find for that is over 8.5 is minus 110 over at DraftKings.
We're officially at the half between Brazil and Japan. Japan taking a 1-0 lead into halftime. Minus 155 favorites on the money line. Brazil +120 when play resumes. Jeff, let's finish out with our best bets of the night. You got something for the Chicago Cubs?
I do, and this one's fun. Again, Wrigley game, always check the weather, right? And the wind is blowing out, not 116, 16 miles an hour. It's going to be a hot weather day in Chicago. Pete Crow Armstrong's got a 962 home OPS. I'm all about Pete Crow Armstrong today. I'm going to go total bases over 2.5 +130.
We're going under 9 in Mets Blue Jays. Both these teams struggling immensely right now. We talked about the losing streak for Toronto. Mets are the Mets. Huge road under team are the Mets. 61% to the under on the road, hitting just .231 as a club. So we'll go under 9 to wrap things up. Thank you for watching the Monday edition of Prop Points. We're handing things off to Money Move.